Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. Been trying for about 3 days to get another show rolling. It's interesting. I get these urges or impulses to do a show, and they get kind of thwarted. Things kind of pop up. But I sure do thank everyone that's been listening to the archives. It's been such an explosion in activity. That's a good thing. I think people are enjoying this program and learning from it. And that's why I do it, so I can learn. And you can learn right along with me while we go through this material. I always like to review, but we're going to jump into some really new stuff or deep stuff today. But just as a quick overview, Billy Meyer is an 80-year-old man. He lives in Switzerland, about 45 minutes east of Zurich. He's written 40 to 50 books. He's had extraterrestrial contact, amazing photographs, 1,400 photographs or so of ships that have flown around his home there in Switzerland. Most of these photographs were taken right around 1975, before there was really a Photoshop to create these sort of things. Billy's contacts are all human beings, just like us. They, in fact, have lived here on the earth in the very, very ancient past during the time of a man named Pelagon, and during the time of Atlantis and Lemuria. We had at least two great ancient societies that existed on the earth. First of all, Pelagon, who was the king of wisdom or the leader of that civilization, started right around 150,000 years ago. And then Atlantis and Lemuria, which was about 130,000 years ago when it started. The people that came into these civilizations and built these civilizations, according to Meyer information, were from other star systems. So the Earth has a connection in the ancient past with these other human civilizations that exist in our universe. The Meyer information refers to our universe as the creation. It has both a physical structure and an intelligence. Let's put it that way. They call it the universal consciousness. There's an intelligence which drives the evolution of our universe. The intelligence is not a human intelligence. It's a different kind of intelligence. It has this. It's a spiritual energy. It's a neutral, positive spiritual energy. But it is no Heavenly Father, as the religions teach. The term God is completely inappropriate. It doesn't describe the way this superintelligence operates. It radiates love, yet it has no personality. The German, in Billy's writings, is a term called Wesenheiten. And the Wesenheiten, the universal consciousness, is an entity which evolves according to a kind of predetermined plan. In other words, the universe will expand. It's expanding since the Big Bang. It's currently expanding. It will expand for 155 trillion years. Currently, our universe is 46 trillion years old. Billy's spirit form, his Geist form, as it's called in the German, is very ancient. And these extraterrestrials had been watching it reincarnate on the Earth. And Billy's six of his previous personalities include the people that we today call Enoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, and Muhammad. And each one of these personalities taught the information that I'm going to cover shortly, but in a different form. It was never written down properly, and when it was written down, the scribes wrote it down in an incorrect or intentionally falsified way, or just an accidentally falsified way. So one of the big missions of Edward Albert Meyer during this lifetime is to get all this stuff written. So he's written about 40 books. One of the books that we've been looking at is called The Might of Thoughts, which describes that we should always have a neutral, positive thought pattern. And the neutral, positive thinking is what will bring to you prosperity. And it's what allows you to function in harmony. We're trying to live in a harmonious balance. And there are about 10 or 12 characteristics that Billy's described in the book. And if you tell yourself, I am confident, I'm optimistic, I'm relaxed, I'm cheerful, I'm thankful, I'm enthusiastic, I'm in harmony, I persist, I persevere, I endure, I'm calm, I'm satisfied. So these statements will help correct your thinking, because what we're here to do is cultivate, steer this neutral positive thinking. So this higher knowledge of how we should live is really what I call the second stage of disclosure. Once we realize that the universe doesn't revolve around the earth, there are other people out in the universe, and there really are universal laws that we can follow in order to have a prosperous lifetime and a healthy planet. If we follow these laws, then everything goes well and we have a very enjoyable life. If we do not follow these laws, then we face difficulty on top of difficulty on top of difficulty, which is where we are right now. Excuse me, I have a cat calling me. Come here, buddy. No, come here. Anyway, we always get our little distractions as we continue here. Anyway, what this section is going to talk about is our innermost creational nature. We have two consciousnesses. We have a material consciousness, which is your personality this lifetime. We have your spiritual consciousness, which encompasses all your previous personalities. And your innermost creational nature is the summation of the evolution of all those previous personalities. So what we want to do in this lifetime is to be able to discern the impulses from the innermost creational nature, so that we can take advantage of all the evolution of our previous personality. So let me read a few things here. In order to be a real human being, in order to have a right, healthy way of life, there are many points which must be heeded and followed. For example, in order to rely on one's own self, it must first be cultivated in a neutral, positive, equalized form, or at least to the extent that it complies in large part with the innermost creational nature. So we have the innermost creational nature, which is operating on the impulses of your spirit form, your Geist form. Your spirit form resides in the center of your middle brain. It's called the Geist form in the German. It is also referred to as a Telstock in the German, which is a fragment of the universal consciousness. It never dies. It records everything that you do. It will tell you if your thinking is right or wrong if you've learned to pay attention to it. It contains the accumulated wisdom of all your previous personalities, and it impulses your material consciousness, which is who you are this lifetime. So one of the keys to the spiritual life is being able to sense those impulses, which tell us the right way to go. Let me continue here. Once the inner nature, the self, is cultivated, the state must become conscious, whereby a high regard for one's own self emerges. And this is also confirmed by the teaching in the book, The Way to Live, which says, never forget to fulfill your duty to yourself. So you have a duty to yourself, which says you should have no inferiority complexes, no self-abuse. You should be benevolent, kind. You should do nothing in secret that you wouldn't do in public. These are important concepts. You should be your own best friend. So never have feelings of inferiority about yourself. This is part of the teaching in the Art zu Leben, the Way to Live book. So you should have a high regard for yourself. Number three, one's personal imagination of a higher evolution than that which is currently the case must always be tended and nurtured. So the purpose for this lifetime is the evolution of our consciousness. That's what we're trying to do in this lifetime. We're trying to evolve to a higher level. And one of the ways you evolve to a higher level is to constantly stay in a neutral, positive balance. That means you're confident, you're optimistic, you're relaxed, you're cheerful, you're thankful, you're enthusiastic, you're in harmony. You persevere, you persist, you endure, you're calm, you're satisfied, and as it says in one of Billy's meditative sentences, I always remain relaxed and thereby gain might over myself. So what we're trying to do is gain might over ourselves. That's the higher evolution. Because one striving toward that which is higher is spurred on thereby. An affirmation for the purpose of higher development of the personality is necessary as the affirming of life itself. Okay, here's the big gotcha. Unsatisfaction must never appear. Unsatisfaction is one of your enemies. So when you start to feel unsatisfied with your life conditions, this is very destructive. It creates an uncalm. It leads to restlessness and inconsistency. And I think somewhere in here it talks about unsatisfaction taking away your sense of initiative. So the more calm and confidence and optimism you can build into your point of view, the better you're going to feel and the more motivated you're going to be. Number six. Since the human being cannot flee from himself or herself, it is absolutely necessary and important that he or she develops himself and organizes himself or herself for progress towards that which is higher. He or she is only thereby able to realistically live with himself in love, peace, joy, and harmony. So we really should love ourselves. We should learn to love ourselves, because that's the other thing about unsatisfaction. If you have unsatisfaction, what you're really developing is an aversion towards yourself, which is really bad. Let me try to find this quickly, if it's possible at all. Well, of course it's... Oh, yeah, here it is. But to that end, it is necessary to recognize and to know that hidden in unsatisfaction is an aversion. Which must be neutralized. An aversion to one's own personality. But from where does that aversion to oneself come from? which the human being normally only perceives subliminally, and about which he or she is only seldom fully conscious. The cause lies in the completely absent or only extremely defective knowledge about one's truthly I. This fact is the law of human nature, which in this regard applies to every human being who proceeds on the dangerous plane of self-aversion. I need to get this in my notes. I'm working, revamping exopoliticsohio.us, and there's things missing from the website, but the website looks much better, so I'm trying to organize these notes. But this is a whole new area of learning, because what happens when we slip out of neutral positive thinking and we go negative, or we go too positive — you can go too positive, but I think most of the time we go negative — when that occurs, you can develop unsatisfaction. And what unsatisfaction is an aversion towards yourself, where you actually start to dislike yourself, which is, of course, a terrible thing to go through. So anyway, I wanted to cover that concept for the first 15 minutes of the show. I'm going to shift gears now, and we're going to listen to some of the speculations about the California fires. There's a whole series of California fires. There's a 5 or 6 fires in Northern California, 5 or 6 fires in Southern California. They seem to start inexplicably, like in the middle of the night, about a month or two ago, and they spread rapidly and quickly. And there are multiple causes for this. Overpopulation has led to a lot of these issues. We don't let the smaller fires burn the way we should. We put them out too quickly, and then you get this giant over-dried out area that's easily turned into just raging fires. And Billy's prophecies have talked about for decades that the United States will face these rolling walls of fire and hurricanes. So these clips are more speculation. Some people speculate that there's kind of directed energy weapons that have been used in these fires. So I'm going to play, just let these clips roll as I have been, and we'll listen to this.
So the recent California fires are very strange and suspect, to say the least. We have specific areas being burned, like energy was being directed at certain things. In drone footage of the aftermath, we see houses completely obliterated and turned to ash, while the surrounding landscapes and trees are totally fine. Here is a clip courtesy of Serbian Conspiracy. I'll put a link in the description. You'll notice here that stores and restaurants are wiped out while other things are still in perfect shape. Other buildings are fine, trees are untouched, but specific structures are just devastated. You gotta ask yourself, what's up with that? How did the fires get to these certain buildings, but the surrounding areas, including the parking lot, look normal? Is this the result of direct energy weapons? Ranged weapons that inflict damage on a target by emitting highly focused energy? The answer is most likely yes, but most people believe that these kinds of weapons are just science fiction, due to movies like Austin Powers, for instance.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're about to begin phase 2 of our evil project. Or is it phase? I don't know phases. Anyways, this is the phase in which we put a giant laser on the moon. As you know, the moon rotates around the Earth like so. When the moon reaches its appropriate lunar alignment, it will destroy Washington, D.C. Anyways, the key to this plan is the giant laser.
But in reality, These direct energy weapons are admitted to be real and are documented.
To have experimented with weather control, but nothing conclusive. This time we're digging into the laws of physics rather than simply waving our hands and uttering mumbo jumbo. We're actually using trillion watt lasers now.
Laser.
Hurricanes have been the result of government weather modification programs in which the skies were sprayed with nanoparticles and storms, then activated through the use of lasers. There's an interview below. Michio discusses the history of weather modifications before CBS crew stop him in his tracks. The High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program, HARP, was created in the early 1990s as part of the Ionospheric Research Program jointly funded by the U.S. Air Force, the U.S. Navy, the University of Alaska Fairbanks, and the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, DARPA. According to government officials, HARP allows the military to modify and weaponize the weather by triggering earthquakes, floods, and hurricanes.
They were talking about climate change yesterday, and now we're learning that scientists and researchers are looking at how to change the weather on purpose. That's right. Lasers now could one day manipulate rain and...
From video, we talked about Sonoma Design Group with all the military connections. Well, this is Sonoma Media Group. Darius Anderson runs it, owns the Press Democrat, several other newspapers they bought up, controlling the narrative, taking in all the money, just like disaster capitalism. We'll see if they're using it for goodwill. But they got Rebuild Santa Rosa coming up with all the players coming in for the Agenda 21, which we'll document next. But today is a very important document, the plan to burn up Northern California, and more bad news. This is my Deborah Tavares interview with Jeff Rentz back in 2015, saying that this exact event that just occurred in Sonoma, Napa, Mendocino counties, all some 16 major fires, they're saying, all started at once, all started in the middle of the night, all started without a storm, all started with heavy winds whipping them up, all to a person, firemen saying they'd never seen it. Now over almost two and a half weeks in, no one has an explanation for what happened. Except Ms. Tavares. She called it. Let's get into it. This is part one. Thanks. Hi, folks. Welcome to another video from aplaintruth.info. Today is a...
Again, this is around August of 2011. PG&E has since come under fire on many issues, and certainly the fact that they've been in collusion with the California Public Utility Commission. So what happened in order to create the illusion that the California Public Utility Commission actually regulated the utilities, which they don't, it's all Rothschild, they slapped PG&E on the hand and required a document release. Well, there was a large document release, as I recall, about 7 or so months ago, and different members in this
Hey guys, it's 12:20 p.m. on October 13th, 2017, and I'm going to bring you some red flags from earlier this week that we need to start paying attention to because this fire is not even close to being contained yet. And let me give you the reasoning why we have to start paying very close attention to what is happening in California, because this is the Waldo Canyon fire from a couple of years ago. You guys, we did not pay attention to this. We did not. And the only thing that's distinguishing you from this being your house is whether or not we pay attention, because this can happen to any of us. This is not a forest fire. This was not a forest fire, because look at, guys, the forest around here did not catch on fire. The homes caught on fire. This was Waldo Canyon. We ignored this. It's happening again in California, not just in one place in California, but in dozens of places in California. So here's what I want you guys to listen to.
Station looks and feels apocalyptic.
Looks like a bomb went off.
nothing left of, you know, these homes.
This is the stuff you have nightmares about.
This is absolutely devastating. It's heartbreaking. It is crushing. This looks like another planet.
It's probably reminiscent of hell. There's still some fires because the gas is...
Looks like hell on Earth, and I would have to say that's a very accurate description of what we're looking down on.
Guided tour through hell as flames consume an entire Santa Rosa neighborhood.
What the hell is going on? You good, son?
What do you think about this? It's covering us now. Look at the sun.
Hey guys, G for T, Survive and Thrive TV. We're out here in Painted Hills, Coachella Valley, outside of Palm Springs. We're bugging out for a couple days. And I wanted to do a follow-up video to a video I did a few weeks ago called People Are Disappearing in California. People are going bankrupt. They're losing everything. And under this load of debt, there's a load of shame. And instead of saying goodbye to neighbors that they've known for 10, 20 years, people are just packing up their things and they're leaving. Many times they're leaving out of state, and they're leaving to places like Texas, Oklahoma, North Dakota, Georgia. I'm hearing Georgia a lot. it's like there's a whole migration happening from the West Coast to other parts of the country. And many times these people don't have jobs lined up. They're going to live with other family and hoping for more opportunities. The workers, the ones that are making the $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a year are all leaving California. And what we're left with is kind of a migrant, immigrant population that makes the majority of its income under the table and then takes advantage of government programs like food stamps, welfare, low-income housing. And then on the coastal communities, you have people that seem almost unaffected by the economic situation. You know.
Look at the burning point of a couple of materials. Glass burns at around 2600 to 2900 degrees Fahrenheit, which is more than double the regular temperature of house fires or forest fires. Let's see what we can find out about aluminum. Aluminum melts at around 1220 degrees. Some alloys burn a little bit hotter, around 1900 degrees. Now let's take a look at what the National Institute of Fire Safety and Safety Training say what will not generally burn in a house fire. Jewelry, because it's metal. Silver coins, because they're metal. Filing cabinets, steel cabinets. Steel filing cabinets are built to last so that businesses won't have to deal with the loss of important files after building fires.
I am currently speaking to Dr. Judy Wood, and she contacted me today. And we've been discussing these rather terrible fires in California. And we were obviously, quite a lot of people contacted me on Facebook saying, oh, look, it's directed energy weapons are in use. And, you know, what does Dr. Judy Wood think of this? And what do you think of it? And, oh, it's definitely directed energy weapons. So... Well, I just wanted to say that so that Dr. Judy could tell me and tell anyone else who listens to this what her thoughts are on this and why we've got to be careful, basically, what we're doing with this.
Yeah, I wonder if it's somewhat of a psyop that's been unleashed, too, because either that or it's a demonstration of how stupid people have become. They don't know how to problem solve. I've got.
Okay, that's enough on our fire clips. Is it stupid? Is it? Could be. I mean, I'm not sure that the deep state is letting loose directed energy weapons at the public. Let's hope not. I wouldn't doubt it. Certainly, 9 billion people on the planet has probably created a set of circumstances which allow fires and hurricanes to happen with a whole lot of regularity. I know that was a lot of different topics and jumped around a little bit, but I still think that there's a lot to learn about what's happening in our nation. And the Meyer material tells us that there will be rolling walls of fire and hurricanes in the United States. And it also talks about two civil wars, one following the other. It talks about the United States being broken up into five different regions. And how can we stop these horrible things from happening? Well, we begin with controlling our own thoughts. And eventually, following these, we'll talk about a little bit some of the creational natural laws. But I wanted to get back to kind of an overview, because we probably have a lot of new listeners out there, considering the folks that are listening to the archives anyway. Billy Meyer is an 80-year-old man. He lives in Switzerland in a tiny mountain village called Hinterschmidruti, which is about 45 minutes east of Zurich. He grew up in Bulach, Switzerland, which is farther north, in a little village called Niederflux, right around 1942 or 3, he started to get his first telepathic messages from an extraterrestrial human named Svoth. Svoth was about 900 years old, and he came from a star system called the Pleiaren star system. Unfortunately, Billy's contacts have been called the Pleiadians a great deal. They're really not from our Pleiades. They are from the Pleiaren star system, which is about 80 light years beyond our Pleiades, in a different space-time configuration. Our universe has seven different space-time configurations. Our soul system is in a different space-time configuration than the Pleiaren. And these different space-time configurations have similarities. For example, there's a Lyra Vega system and a Sirius system in the Pleiaren space-time configuration. So there are planets and stars and galaxies in these other dimensions. We have a strange and confused idea about dimensions. I don't even like that word because it has so many false connotations. But these people, like I had said at the beginning of the show, had lived on the Earth during the time of Pelagon and during the time of Atlantis and Lemuria. And they had been watching this spirit form reincarnate on the Earth. And they had noticed it had been Enoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, and Muhammad. And today it had incarnated as Edward Albert Meyer. So they sent a kind of a mentor in this man named Svoth. And Svoth landed his ship in about 1945 and met with Billy face to face for the first time. He landed a strange silvery pear-shaped craft in northern Switzerland. And Billy was brought up into the ship by means of some technology. It said as if by ghostly hands, Billy was brought up into the ship. And they went up into Earth orbit. And Svoth taught Billy about his previous lives. He told him that during this life, he would have much difficulty, that his friends and family, his own wife, would turn against him, that people would try to kill him. There would be something like 15 attempts on his life. His own wife would turn against him, call him a hoaxer, that he would have a lot of challenges, that he would lose his left arm in an accident in the Middle East, but that his teaching would eventually bring about a change here on Earth, a very, very positive change, but that we would have 800 years of a transition period called the third millennium. And during this third millennium, a kind of confusion and maliciousness would spread out all over the earth. And that slowly, this teaching, the spiritual teachings associated with the Meyer case, would bring about a change in people's awareness and conscious levels. Because what needs to happen on the earth is we need to evolve our consciousness. And the first step to doing that is learning to control our thinking and keeping our thinking in this neutral, positive perspective. So Billy, one of the things Billy was taught by Svath is something called spiritual telepathy. And spiritual telepathy allows, for example, in this case, Edward Albert Meyer to pull information down from a spiritual plane called Arahat Athrasada. And this information has helped Billy at various times during his life. He can also has the ability to pull information out of the storage banks. There are storage banks associated with the planet, with the solar system, with the galaxy, with the universe. So you could think of them like archives of energetic information, where in the library we have physical books, but in our universe there's this gigantic wisdom that's stored, and there is a way to access that. So Billy is also has that ability to be sensitive to the signals, kind of like signals coming out of the universal storage banks. When he was a very, very young boy, he had a kind of epiphany. It was a warm night in May, and I think it was right around 42 or 43, and he woke up at about 3 a.m. and crawled out a lower window, and he looked up at the starry sky, a clear starry sky, and he said, "My life is made out of the love of creation." And he saw the light which the stars emitted, but he recognized another light, an invisible light, which he called the love of creation. And he felt this longing for these other worlds and for these faraway places. And he heard his own voice say, "Since ancient times, I've lived among the stars." And I wonder if a lot of us here on the earth have also had these similar kinds of impulses, that we've looked up at the starry sky at night and felt a longing, sensed an impulse. We again have a creational innermost nature that's related to our spirit form. Every human being has a spirit form, a tiny fragment of the universal consciousness. It's the part of you that never dies. The spirit form comes into the body of the child at 21 days after the sperm fertilizes the egg. It's no bigger than a needle point, but its energies travel throughout the whole body in a lattice structure. It causes the heart to beat, and the fetus, the little tiny fetus, actually starts to think. And this spirit form has the accumulated knowledge and wisdom of all your previous personalities. And the spirit form cannot be harmed by anything in the material world, not by your own negativity, your spirit form can never have a disease. If you get hit by a car, it doesn't affect your spirit form. Your spirit form is completely invulnerable, and it never dies. And it's recording your entire life. Even like little impulses that you get. And it also gives you feedback in some way. There's a feedback mechanism. The spirit form will let you know if your thinking is right or wrong. So one of the key points of the spiritual life is learning to listen and pay attention to your own feelings because the feelings grow out of the thoughts. Now, Billy, because of the tremendous age of his spirit form, even growing up as a young boy, was always oriented again to looking inward, to evaluate truth. He was, as a very young boy, oriented to independent thinking. Independent thinking is what brings about the evolution of the consciousness. If there is no independent thinking, there is no evolution of the consciousness. So here's Billy as this very, very young boy in Switzerland. He's getting impulses from the universal storage banks. He's getting telepathic messages from a 900-year-old human being who was here, put on this earth to mentor him. Now, right around 1953, when Billy was 16 years old, he was told that he would get another mentor. A woman from the Tao universe named Asket sent a robotic ship to Switzerland to a specific hill that Billy would often meditate on. And out of the sky came this strange craft that had three strange spherical landing pods on it. It landed, a hatch opened, and Billy again was lifted into the ship as if by ghostly hands. There was a flash of light. The ship became invisible. Billy became invisible. It started to float over his neighborhood, hovered over his house for a while, and then it shot off, gaining altitude and heading towards the Middle East. And Billy saw beautiful stars in the sky. He saw the Indian Ocean, which was tremendously beautiful, he said. He also saw the sun, which even, it was basically nighttime, but he could still see the sun off in the distance. And this robotic craft, it landed in Jordan, and Billy stepped out. And then shortly thereafter, something came down that looked like a falling star. They got larger and larger and larger. And eventually, Billy could see this 300-meter disc, gigantic disc with all these lights landing nearby this little robotic craft that he had come in. And the ship just sat there for half an hour. Nothing happened. And then out stepped what Billy described as a modern-looking angel, which was this woman, Asket. And again, Billy felt as if he knew her. And he asked her about this, and she told him to search deep within him and that maybe he could recover these memories. And he felt an awareness that he, during this lifetime, had missed her very much. So, very interesting connection there. But Billy and her got back into her ship and flew off to the Giza Plateau. Asket's ship was cloaked, invisible. No one else could see it. And the two also had a little device that they put on their belts that made them both invisible. And Billy played some tricks on some local native women that were nearby. He went into a tent and he kissed a few that were dressing there. But what Asket and him did is they went far below the Giza Plateau into these cubical constructions that were about 73,000 years old, where they saw the headquarters of the Giza intelligences. And they had underneath the Great Pyramid there, underneath the Giza Plateau, smaller ships and larger ships, as well as a headquarters from which they were using religion and these telenotic impulses to control or attempt to control the people of the earth. I speculate, just my own speculation, that these Giza intelligences were some way connected to the Illuminati ruling families that exist on the earth today, to this invisible government. Because one of the things that is going on in the background is a one-world government is attempting to be set up, which will involve a cashless society, which will remove our self-determination. And this is what's going on in the background. You'll be chipped. There is currently what's called the Deep Space Platform, which is observing everything that happens on the planet. And this is also in the Fiegel Bulletin number 2. It's talked about, Billy's talked about, the fact that we would be, or attempted, would be made to microchip the world population. Again, this is all designed to take away your free speech, your right to travel, your ability to think independently. I wanted to step back and look a little more at the creation and what the creation is. It's a very, very challenging topic to study and to try to put wrap your mind around what the creation is. The whole universe you could think of as the creation. I've talked about the Deep Space Platform, which is not only looking at us, it's looking out into space. And one of the things that's coming up is a possible collapse of the United States in 2020. But creation, the universal consciousness, it has an internal and an external body. The universe that we live in is the material manifestation of the wisdom of creation. In other words, the incredible splendor of nature is the visible expression of the love of creation. So this superintelligence has this incredible love that radiates out from it. Even though it doesn't have a personality, it doesn't operate as a heavenly father. We have a whole lot of false concepts because of religion and because of how we think love is, what we think love is. See, the law of love is the highest form of love. It's called effective love, and it's based on reverence and respect. It doesn't interfere with your personal responsibility. So this is a different kind of love. You know, I would say a father would save his child from doing something stupid and killing themselves. But the universal consciousness isn't going to save you if you go out and climb up on top of a tall building and then try to jump off. It's, you're going to splat on the sidewalk, and then in your subconscious in your next life, you'll have a fear of heights or some impulse which will make it less likely that you'll do that again. But the universal consciousness doesn't correspond to the religious notion of God, even though love is the highest principle in all creation. And everything follows that principle in absolute logic. Even though we have prey animals and predator animals, it is, there is a law of love, but the system that creation has is not perfect because it's evolving. The other law of the universe is the law of striving, which says everything has to work to survive. Everything has to work to evolve its knowledge, its wisdom, its understanding. Even the animals evolve their intelligence. But the human being's whole purpose is the evolution of his consciousness. To gather more wisdom and to gather more love. It requires you to strive, continually work, to have happiness, to have a sense of life. You have to be continually striving. This is the fundamental law of all evolution, that everything has to continue to strive. This is a very important law of the universe. There's also the law of harmony, the bipolar structure, the composition of everything that exists. There's a negative and a positive. There's always a negative and a positive. In your life, you'll always have a negative somewhere. And our goal is to stay neutral, positive in our thinking all the time. That's the law of harmony. If you don't have the law of harmony, then striving becomes a real hardship. But if you can listen to your inner impulses and stay neutral and stay within the law of harmony, even when you're striving, striving will then produce a happiness, a sense of satisfaction. It's like doing this show. I get a sense of satisfaction from it. When I fall out of the law of harmony, it seems like work. And anything that you're doing, if you fall out of the law of harmony, you won't operate in the law of love as well. You won't operate in the law of striving as well. So it all comes, in many sense, down to the law of harmony. It's so important to control your thoughts. The universal consciousness is always, always neutral positive. It's called a Wesenheiten in the German. It grinds things out over trillions of years of evolving. It doesn't have the human foibles of a personality. It continues to evolve. It continues to expand. Let me talk about another law of prosperity, and a law of prosperity and abundance. So if you follow the law of harmony, the law of striving, and the law of love, eventually you'll have some form of prosperity and abundance. And that's not to say that some people aren't born into situations that make that very, very difficult for them to do. But during this last 10 minutes, I wanted to try to focus on the universal consciousness, the creation, what the creation is. It has, again, a physical structure, and it has this intelligence. The intelligence operates on the principles that I was talking about. But the Schöpfung in the German has a kind of creation spirit energy. And the creation spirit energy is interweaving throughout the whole universe. The entire universe is laced with this energy, and it has an intelligence of its own. It has an intelligence which brings forth life, life forms, matter. It's different than our intelligence. Every spirit energy that it enlivens human beings, it enlivens animals, microbes, bacteria and viruses, everything. Even the stones and the water have this spirit energy in it. I talked about the spirit form that exists in the human being in this middle part of the brain in the spiritual in the superior colliculus. The spirit form is a part of us. It never dies. It remains after death. It's a part piece of creation. It animates the physical body, causes the heart to beat, comes into the child at 21 days after the sperm fertilizes the egg. Even after death, the spirit energy stays in the body for about 3 hours. And that's why if you take out a kidney, you need to do it within that 3 hours if you're going to give that kidney to another human being. It's that residual spirit energy. It stays with the body for about 3 hours. It's interesting that your first incarnation, you'll be completely unknowing, but most of us have actually had about 4 million years of reincarnations. And one of the blessings of life is the ability to forget all the failures. Can you imagine all the people you've known? If you've really reincarnated for 4 million years, think of all the people, all the family, all the friends, all the pets that have died. If you remembered all that, you would go insane. All the failures you've had over those 4 million years. Because failures are a part of our learning. And we have to forget. We have to forget the failures. Forgetting is a tremendous blessing. Let me talk about the unconscious quickly. We have a conscious mind, which is our sentient, our awareness. It's the ability to experience or feel. It's our wakefulness. It's having a sense of selfhood. It's the executive control system of the mind, but we also have an unconscious. And that's the part of the psyche that lies before the consciousness. It has a much faster rate of processing. You could think of it as like a clerical assistant. It comes before the consciousness in the chain of information processing. It sorts the incoming perceptions and impulses. It's a kind of a pre-processing that takes place. It's very important, you're unconscious. This means that through the unconscious, instantaneous perceptions are made. And the unconscious contacts itself with the subconscious. And we have something called the Gemüt, which controls the thoughts and the feelings of the spiritual consciousness. Remember, you have a material consciousness and a spiritual consciousness. Your material consciousness is the actual personality of the human being. It solely can be creative. For example, drawings, inventions, books, those come from the material consciousness. The spiritual consciousness can't do that yet. That's why it needs all these physical lifetimes. The material consciousness is the force of the human being, which functions all the decision-making, all the thought processes, all the considerations, all the deliberations. The psyche controls the thoughts and the feelings of the material consciousness. And we all have a material consciousness. We all have a psyche. There's something called the Empfinden, which is a block or a factor, which occupies the spiritual realm. It deals with the feeling. And the Empfinden receives the swinging waves, which are purely of a spiritual nature. And the Empfindung is this fine spiritual perception. It's where we perceive the radiating love of creation. So we have feelings that we don't understand yet at our current level of evolution. We have feelings that we don't understand yet intellectually. It's very difficult to understand these fine spiritual perceptions. This is the Empfinden. So the human being will actually have to, all of us, to finish our evolution. We spend 40 to 60 million years evolving into a physical body. That's the first five stages of our evolution. We spend about 20 to 30 million years in reincarnating into this, first of all, 40 to 60 million years reincarnating into a physical body, and then about 20 to 30 million years reincarnating into this half physical, half spiritual state. And then we go into a purely spiritual plane, which we were there for billions of years. Looks like I've ran out of time. I hope you found this enjoyable and useful. You've been listening to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. Have a great day. I'm going to put a lot more good shows out for you folks. Thanks for listening.